This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Attia.
Still one of the biggest and most exciting films film of this year has been Dune Part 2, directed by Denis Villeneuve and produced by Legendary Studios. This was, you could say, the epitome of just the perfect sci-fi adaptation. Dune Part 2 and Dune Part 1 and Part 2 are an adaptation of the very well-known book series of the same name, Dune by Frank Herbert. This was a book series that was written back in the 60s, and many look at the novel, that novel series, and it's considered, honestly, the book series that has defined and inspired today's modern sci-fi. The way Lord of the Rings has shaped modern fantasy, Dune has shaped modern sci-fi. So you have to imagine trying to adapt this book series for modern cinema could be one of the greatest challenges, and Denis Villeneuve took on that challenge. And it's nice to see something where you had doubts from the very beginning actually exceed your expectations. And Dune Part 2 has been exceedingly successful at the box office, raking more than now $600 million. Now, that may seem like nothing compared to the big other box office blockbusters of recent years, but for a new franchise in cinema like Dune, which has been in hiatus and slumber for so long, and for it to receive this exponential success means that there is promise for potentially more adaptations in the future. And since its success in theaters, there's definitely been the question towards the director if he was going to make the third movie, because Dune has six canonical books in the series, and a lot more written by the son of the original author, but people really focus on these six books. And the next book to be adapted is Dune Messiah, which is a direct follow-up to the previous movies. And this is where things in the series, if you're familiar with the storyline and the characters and where things go, this is where it starts to cross the, like, that line of, you know, you thought it was weird, now it's gonna get even weirder. So there's definitely gonna be that challenge of trying to write an adaptation of Dune Messiah and bringing it to the silver screen. But Denis Villeneuve said, before he even confirmed, he says, I would not adapt this or produce this film unless I have the perfect screenplay. And here we are now, according to Entertainment Weekly and Deadline, a third movie, which is the adaptation of Dune Messiah, is officially in the works. And this is going to be directed once again by Denis Villeneuve and Legendary Studios, who are developing this movie as the conclusion of the trilogy. Making three Dune films has been Villeneuve's plan all along. He says, I always envisioned three movies. It's not that I want to do a franchise, but this is Dune, and Dune is a huge story. In order to honor it, I think you would need at least three films. That would be a dream to follow Paul Atreides and his full arc, and that would be perfect. Really nice to see a director who understands that sometimes to fulfill the complete picture, you have to complete it until the end. And so, bear in mind, Denis Villeneuve is a busy director. He's got other stuff in the works. He says, I have four projects on the table currently. One of them is a secret project that I cannot talk about right now, but that needs to see the light of day quite quickly. So it would be a good idea to do something in between projects before tackling Dune Messiah and Cleopatra. All these projects are still being written, so we'll see where they go, but I have no control over that. So now, it took him nearly, from the last Dune, about 3 years before we got a new one. So I'd say definitely I'm giving it a maximum of 3 years before we hear anything about the next Dune adaptation. Perhaps it can do it in two, who knows? But that's just Hollywood. And really happy to see a franchise like this, almost like it's hitting its golden age in a sense, because Dune has always been there, but it's always been practically niche and only for very hardcore readers or sci-fi enthusiasts. But to have now Dune at the kind of like at the scale of a mass appeal makes it really great, because we're not only going to get movies, we're going to get a few shows which have been confirmed. One of them is Dune Prophecy by HBO Max. This is going to be a prequel show coming out very, very soon. And for me personally, as someone who's jumped into this world and have grown to love the lore and the characters and the world building and the sci-fi, I have been someone who has been enjoying some of the board games that have come out. Recently, I've been playing Dune Imperium with a few friends of mine. Super addicting, super fun. And there's even that Dune Awakening MMORPG in the works. Hopefully it'll come out this year. But Dune as a franchise is alive and well, and it's showing a lot of success and potential promise. So it's here to stay, and I'm super glad to see it stay for the next foreseeable years. What's your opinion on Dune? Have you watched the movies? Did he like them? Did he not like them? You let me know. Join the conversation. Text me at 4215. It's Slaughterdew. Would love to hear from you guys right here on Pulse 95. Let's take a short break. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about the console competitors, the likes of Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, Switch, who perhaps are rethinking the idea of console exclusivity. You know, there was a time when exclusivity was the main strategy to sell your hardware, but perhaps in today's ever-changing and ever-evolving gaming environment, perhaps accessibility is the key to not only success, but perhaps survival. Let's talk about that right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
2024 has shown that the gaming industry is facing unprecedented challenges, such as games becoming more expensive to produce. Publishers are becoming risk averse because they don't want to invest on new intellectual properties and seeing those IPs fail at the market. There's layoffs and layoffs and layoffs all over the industry. And so the CEO of Xbox, Phil Spencer, expressed some of the concerns about the industry's current state, emphasizing that there's always a need for growth. If things stagnate, it will just get worse from here. So console sales are what's stagnating at the moment, and it's prompted both Xbox and PlayStation to adopt to new strategies. PlayStation is now, from now on, is going to be porting all their games, or at least future first-party exclusive games, to PC. So the next PlayStation game that comes out will also be available on PC. The first initiative came with Helldivers 2 a month back. And even Xbox is expanding its release to platforms like Steam, PlayStation, Nintendo. Some of their Xbox titles that were exclusive to their platform have made their way to PlayStation, such as Sea of Thieves, Grounded, and much more. The industry is undergoing a recalibration, in a way, particularly regarding console exclusives. The idea behind console exclusivity was this. PlayStation or Xbox or Nintendo, they would make a generational hardware, a console, like the PlayStation 5. And they would, within that generation, they have multiple studios that develop exclusive titles for that hardware. And if they're great games and they sell well, they help push your console as well. You make great games and you sell your console. This is how it works. And that exclusivity has worked for quite some time. But it seems that might not be always the case. Exclusivity can take you only so far, because great games are everywhere and people are becoming a little bit more diversified with their capacity to play games. Some people don't need to be on a console to play games. It can be on their PC or on their mobile and so on and so forth. And so I think what's happened is that these game companies have realized they need to expand their market reach. They need to have their services and their games available in other markets. And so the wave of layoffs in the industry is still accelerating with this recalibration, with companies reevaluating their strategy and are cutting costs all over. Factors like the COVID-19 pandemic and economic conditions contribute to this turmoil. And so the CEO of Xbox, Phil Spencer, predicts that a shift away from console exclusives will mitigate those revenue loss. He's saying, don't lock your games into only your platform. Have it available on other platforms. And so he says that having to satisfy the gamer's desire for accessibility across devices will drive sales. Companies will have to increasingly embrace broader strategies to reach a wider audiences. And that could also even mean for Nintendo, who for the longest time have been very adamant about their exclusivity. Nintendo, who honestly need to diversify their approach beyond consoles, need to, and they have been exploring avenues like theme parks and movies, with the Super Mario movie that recently came out. But despite these changes, the console itself still remains purely exclusive. They don't release any of their titles anywhere else. And so I think besides them rolling out a next-gen console, they need to look into innovative tactics, perhaps allowing players from other platforms to access some of their library of games. So overall, the industry is still adapting to meet these evolving consumer demands. And at the same time, they're realizing that future growth doesn't come enough out of exclusivity, but rather accessibility and providing real value for gamers. If you are able to have a greater market reach, have your game sold in other platforms besides your exclusive market, then it will drive sales. You will find that growth. And I think this is something that PlayStation and Xbox have realized, but Nintendo perhaps still is not willing to change that philosophy just yet. Let's take a short break, and coming up next, we're going to be talking about Disney Plus, who are going to be cracking down on password sharing. Now, this is not the first time a live stream service has done this. Netflix was actually the first instigator, and now it looks like others are following suit. So, for someone who's sharing your password for the Disney Plus account, beware, it's happening. That and so much more, let's talk about it right here on The Evening Buzz.
Pulse 95.
When it comes to any subscription service, we're talking Netflix, Amazon Prime, Apple TV Plus, whatever it may be, we all know that we password share our subscription service. We're not really giving it to ourselves. We're trying to hook it up to anyone else who wants it, but is not willing to cough up the money for it. Now, I'm someone who is subscribed to a few subscription services, and I am guilty of password sharing. Matter of fact, I have a little joke that I do with my family, because they all use my subscription services. And usually I jump into the group chat with them. I'm like, you know, guys, I think I'm deciding to cancel Spotify and Netflix for budgetary reasons. And the absolute uproar that I get out of it, everybody's like, you can't do that. You can't cancel my Spotify. I have all my music there. I've spent years crafting my playlist. How am I supposed to transfer? I'm like, that's not my problem. I'm just going to cancel. And they just get, it's fun. It's fun play. I goof with them. Not going to cancel anytime soon. Not yet, at least. So, yes, I think this is like a little open secret. We all password share our subscription services. And some of us leech off others without knowing. They may have, put it on your smart TV one day and you never logged out. That's the little privilege you get from it. And so these subscription services, they know that you're password sharing, and they have been trying to crack down on this for a very long time. One of the initial instigators was Netflix themselves, who I believe was like a year or two ago where they said, yeah, we're warning you guys, we're going to do it. We're going to crack down on password sharing. And if you do password share, we're going to you're going to have to pay a little bit of money every time you password share, because we can tell. You know, if you have, like, let's say you password share from somebody out of the country, they're going to know. Of course, this somewhat alleviated that little problem they had. And matter of fact, ever since the password crackdown, they had a big increase in subscribers. How crazy is that? So, of course, Disney Plus and other competitors now looking at the same strategy as Netflix have now tried to implement this. And the latest one is Disney Plus, who has already put rules in place to prevent subscribers from sharing their passwords. But now we have an idea when it will start making users pay to share them. And it's going to start in June of this year. Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney, says the rollout will start in just a few countries and a few markets before expanding to all subscribers across the world in September. Disney's anti-password sharing rules initially went into effect for some new subscribers earlier this year and has been rolled out to existing members back in March. And so, yeah, it seems Disney right now, who is probably suffering a lot from just last year's earnings call. Some of their big movies have not done very well at the box office. Disney Plus is not bringing in the viewership that they were hoping for. And they know that if they crack down on password sharing, it will potentially increase, not so much, but increase their subscribers count, which is what all live streaming is all about. Bring as many people into the subscription plan because, yeah, it's good money. But Disney has also went on record saying that they feel great about the engagement of those Disney subscriptions who are not getting Hulu, who are now watching more programs that were on Hulu, including shows like Shogun, which is actually on FX. We have to increase those engagements. And so there's been a lot of restructuring of their subscription service, bringing in Hulu, FX, ESPN, Discovery, putting them all into the Disney Plus package. And so that means that they have to apply this password sharing policy across the board. Yeah, pretty interesting. But it's a greedy play. That's how I see it. They know that we all password share. We can't help it. It's going to happen. There's more benefits than risks to it. But if they're going to start charging for you, then be sure, starting June and onwards. June is only going to be the first phase, but September is going to be where it applies to all members across the board. So be careful if you start password sharing your subscription service and you end up with a monthly bill that's bigger than the standard price that you're paying for. So keep that in mind, and I might remind you in September when that happens. So, and with that, guys, it's time to wrap it up here on the Evening Buzz. Thank you so much for tuning in, and it's time for me to go. But don't worry, I'm going to be back here tomorrow again from 8 till 9 p.m., keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the weekend shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikhail Atiyah signing out. Have a good one.
If you liked this episode of The Evening Buzz, go, go, go. Drop a like and subscribe. Be sure to follow us on Instagram for all our daily updates and top stories.